podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Point draw for Everton in the end. Very dramatic. Jared Brownquay getting an equaliser. Despite the best efforts of the referee, Michael Harper. Jesus Christ, he was horrific. But Everton had gone the first half. Unlucky to be in 2-1 down. In second half, they really struggled. And it was always going to be a set piece that got them back into it. And thankfully, we just had one in us. Draw probably about right in the end, but those officials are embarrassing. He's going off now, Michael Oliver. The lad Spurs brought on a bit better place in the rugby at the weekend, that centre half. He's got away with absolute murder. Two of the subs were great when they came on as well. Seamus Coleman, fantastic, giving it everything for the team. Gave us real impetus. But Lewis Gobham was dead bright too. The other wingers were awful. But yeah, a good point in the end. This team's clearly not at the best. They're fighting and scrapping for everything at the moment, and they dug in and hung in to the end. It's a good point against a good side, so spirits high at Goodison after that. Yeah, we'll be back in Denby soon. Let's go through that mad game in more detail. We are back in the Denby Castle. I've got Dave Downey, Paul Daly, Les Roberts, Mark Mosey with me. Mosey, come to you first. Good point.
Yeah. It's hard to go. I always think you've got to kind of go back to what you were thinking and expecting pre-game. If you were to show me the first half, minus the obvious of bookended by the two goals and probably the only two times that Tottenham really put us under any form of danger, I'd say that's how I want to see Everton every single week. Aggressive, forcing mistakes from a team who, I always get a little bit more hopeful and excited when I see a team playing out from the back in a way that they do and in a way that Aston Villa did here a few weeks ago, and you think, well, if we are right at it, we're going to terrify these. And I think at times we did that. They have undoubted quality in important areas. So obviously went in leading at the break, where I thought we could feel really hard done to at that result. But even at that time, I felt really confident that we'd get back into the game and get something out of it. And the more I saw the match, the less I thought that, because I think the second half we just gave all impetus back to Tottenham, and in the end we are very, very fortunate to get a point because we were really poor at a time where we should have been forcing the issue. So to answer your question, definitely going into the three games of Fulham away and then obviously two very difficult games against Spurs and Man City, I think most of us would have said 2 points is par to good. So I think most of us would have taken that beforehand, and given the way that the second half went today, I think a point is a really good result for us.
Yeah, it's a good one, Mark. Said really, I think 3 points out of those last three home games, last three league games, can't really argue with that. I know in the Fulham post match, it felt a little bit disappointing, but if you look at those three games on paper, the position we're in, getting 3 points out of them, can't really argue. It's got to be hard, like going into the next few. We need wins. But on the balance of play, we didn't deserve to lose that game. Came through at the end with a scrappy goal. Thing that really I noticed today, though, was both goals we scored, it felt impossible to celebrate, because I thought 100% something's getting pulled back here, because it was so scruffy and it was horrible. It just wasn't nice, and I just hate that side of the game. But it was nice to walk out, and it's not too cold, it's not dark, and we're all quite happy, so that makes a nice change. I'll take that.
Yeah, I'd pretty much, I think what Liza said, the spot on there. Really solid performance from us today. I do share Liza's views on both our goals as well. I think when Calvert-Lewin scored, there was almost an air of, oh, should we celebrate this or not? And there was like a lot of deliberation around it. And I felt with both of Tottenham's goals, there was none of that. First goal, which Charleston took really well. The second one, I was sat in GS5 to begin with at the start of the game, and I was hoping that there'd be a suspicion of offside, but it didn't appear to be given. I think when the Branthwaite one went in, it was just emotion. I was back sitting with my dad and my brother, and I took a punch flush to the face when Jared Branthwaite scored. So I thought when it went to VAR check, I turned around to the fella behind me and went, fucking hell mate, you best be hoping it's a goal here, otherwise I've got a free hit on you. But I think the VAR, as Les was saying, it's taken a lot out of the game. And in a week where our season ticket prices have gone up, I'm just fast like wondering why we keep on coming back. Well, we are like sickos, like the amount of money that we're paying. But it isn't right. Like the amount of fun and joy and emotion that's being taken out, and you're waiting on some idiots in Stockley Park to make a decision, and it can't be right. It's not football as we know it, but I think that's football as it is now. But as everyone said, as Mark said, it's a brilliant point. At the start of the game, I took one look at their front four and I feared the worst. Even the midfield with Bentancur and Højbjerg, compared to Gueye, who's just got back from Africa, and James Garner, who I think the last couple of games he struggled for form, or he hasn't been up to his usual standard. So I think on the grand scheme of things, got to take the point to move on. City will be tough, but we're not losing games. And I seen the stat before the game that we've conceded so many, that like four third least goals in the league, and it's only the top two or three above us. So that bodes well. We've just got to start taking our chances now. So onwards and upwards.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of tenacity in that we've seen at home a little bit more regularly this season, towards as it's got up to this year. Thought having gone behind twice, I was waiting for Spurs to score a third to finish that off. I thought Maddison ran the show for them as well. It was really difficult to try and stop him, but we did well with that. I think just again followed him as well as he could. Yeah, he was. Watching Maddison, you can just tell he's everything that ticks with.
I thought he was quite quiet. Do you think so?
It was that ball he put into Timo Werner.
Yeah,
so good.
He was a pile of shite, by the way. Timo Werner just doesn't. I know he's brilliant over in Germany, but just doesn't seem to cut it in the Premier League. Kulusevski on the other side, one of my favourite players with them. So I think to get a point from his side, that you look at the start of it, similar to what I said when we got away to Fulham, I'd bite your hand off if you give us a point. Today I'd probably bite your arm and the rest of your head off to get a point against these. Felt in an attacking concept, the best thing that I saw and the thing that'll stick in my mind was the corners we took were absolutely brilliant. I think it was Garn who took most of them from the left hand side, and he's whipping it in. That dickhead of a keeper there, you put it over his head, mate. There was all sorts going on there. Effectively how we went and scored, but you seen him like crying on the floor afterwards and all that. I was waiting for us to get a pen. Well, a normal team probably got a pen for some of the things that he did, running into people, elbowing them, and all sorts of carnage.
We'll come back to Michael Arbour, don't worry.
Sorry, I do apologise. general performance wise, I think just about going in a draw there, they are going to be absolutely seething. We're not winning that match. Watching towards the end, where I thought Branthwaite, that's going to be offside, because he is actually offside, but the ball comes off one of their players' heads, so completely denies the VAR. Took a while to work it out as well, to get that draw, and I was thinking, we'll go and get this in the last 3 minutes, but we couldn't quite sort of kick down towards you guys in the Gladys. But yeah, I mean, content with a point there. And like you say, it's getting this run done. It was in Palace afterwards.
City, haven't we, away, and then Palace at home, Brighton away.
Yeah, it's obviously a bit far to look ahead to that sort of thing now, but that draw should just about give everyone sort of the heads are up with that now. I think the performance, like I said, tenacity as well, to get back from that against the side that could have gone away for us at times. Just a word on Richarlison as well, the two fantastic goals that he takes, but I'll get battered for this, but nobody should be applauding him at any point in which he scores a goal or runs into the Gladys, kisses all the fans and wears an Everton top. You should not be applauding any player that scores against us at any stage.
He's still a cheat, fuck him.
No, you see him fucking throwing himself everywhere, people are applauding that.
The header with Tarkowski, they both go up for a header, Tarkowski wins it, Richarlison goes down holding his head and Oliver stops the play. I know we'll come on to him later, but then the exact same thing happened and Oliver almost has to be like bullied into giving a decision. It's exactly the same challenge with the same two players. It was just utterly baffling, but I agree with what Dave said. No one on this planet loves Richarlison more than I do, and no one appreciates more what he did for Everton and what he did in terms of keeping us up. But for 90 minutes he's trying to kill us. Yeah. He's trying to send us down. Yeah. He scored 3 goals against us this season and we're applauding him. That can't be right. That cannot be right. And I get that we're trying to show that we still love him. For 90 minutes that's got to go out the window. And I just felt that even when he went down injured before in the second half and Pickford was over, I was losing my head in the Gladys Street. Leave him, The Spurs physio is clearly being asked about him. Why are we like trying to be his friend?
We should know more than anyone that usually when he goes down like that, he's going to bounce up absolutely fine.
He went down at one point holding his head, and Michael Oliver did kind of like one of those more urgent waves over to the touchline. It was like, it's not that we need the physio on, but we need him right now. And I thought, no one who's ever watched that lad play footy could ever knowingly and like really honourably look over to the sideline and say he needs urgent medical treatment, because he just doesn't. Unfortunately, the man is made of steel, as we know. Just a couple of points I'd say. The one thing I did find quite funny is after we were crap for 40 minutes and then scored a late equaliser, is that all the Everton players urgently ran to get the ball out the net. as though a point simply will not do it. And we really need to kick on. And I think, you know, don't get me wrong, I'd rather see that thing kind of a backs to the wall last few minutes, but it did raise a smile. But just a point on the corners, I think, you know, there was clearly a tactic there to put it right on top of his head. And I thought Dwight McNeil did a really good job of it. He obviously struggled in the first half. Absolutely. But I thought in the second half, at the point where I could probably think of four off the top of my head where McNeil swings corners in and he takes them pretty comfortably. And I want to see a little bit more know-how in terms of us seeing that something is no longer working, and how do we kind of shift this. I know that we've probably worked on it all Friday afternoon at Finch Farm, but surely one of those massive seven lads we've got can pull off to the edge of the 6-yard box and do something just a little bit different. And I think that was kind of like a small scale metaphor for how Everton were, in that we got to about an hour, things clearly weren't working. We simply do not have the quality or the options at the moment to change things, and it all gets a little bit stale. I mean, it feels as though, and you know, it happened today, you physically have to force the ball into the net for us to score a goal when ideas are running dry. We are obviously capable of that, because we have a manager and a team who have an MO of just being massive, and you know, it will work. And it's not the type of football that we want to come to Goodison Park and see. And I think when people get on Sean Dyche's back, like I do frequently, it's because on a grand scale of supporting Everton, I don't want to get excited when we've got a free kick 60 yards out from goal, because the two massive lads from the back are going to go up and contest it with the keeper. Do not get me wrong, it is our best chance of scoring goals and surviving at the moment, but it does feel as though with someone like Dyche and with the set of players that we've got at the moment, teams can win a game in 70 minutes against us, because we do run out of ideas pretty quickly. And it's hard to see how we get out of that, because you either, I know it seems mad to be talking about this on the back of a good result, but long term, you either get rid of someone like Dyche and you're stuck with his players and a manager trying to do different things with them, or you kind of go out and buy non-Sean Dyche players and he has no idea what to do with them. I do find myself at games sometimes thinking, how are we ever going to break this cycle of the Dogs of War banner that I have to always look at in the Gladys? You know, as I say, it is what we have to be right now, but in terms of what I want us to be, it is a little bit hollow. But yeah, good point.
I am glad Mark said that and not me or Dave. About Dyche.
I think
as Mark said, we don't really have another way of playing, and then when it doesn't work, like we ran out of steam that second half, it was dead scrappy, we did have to like force the ball in.
It's proper like headache footy today. Yeah. Like I can actually feel it pounding. Yeah. Referee, really tight contested game. Mopping the ball. Really scrappy. Yeah.
It was heavy metal football. It was Gothic football.
I don't really mind so long as we get results. To be honest, it's like, you know, cliche, it's a results game. And you know what? We could play shit for 90 minutes and we win 1-0. I'm happy. The one that really springs to mind was that Chelsea game a few years back where they battered us, absolutely annihilated us, and we won 1-0. Yeah. And it was like, sound, all right, that. Obviously not long term. We couldn't do that every week. But just one thing I want to talk about before we go on to the ref is the linesman and the offside shouts.
The assistant ref.
Those ones, yeah. So, the equaliser wasn't offside because it flicked off a Tottenham player.
Yeah. about 10 minutes before that, the ball got played forward, a Tottenham player kicked it, Beto ran onto it, flag went up straight away, it was never offside. And the thing I noticed today, don't want to go into the corruption thing, but every time we got caught offside, the flag went straight up. Every time Tottenham got caught offside, it stayed down, to the point where Richarlison nearly got killed.
Did you have your yellow card up, did you?
I missed him. I got in the game too late.
And left too early.
Yeah. Oh no, we stayed till the end. It was fine.
Part of the credentials to come on this pod is that you've never seen Zed Cars.
Pretty much. But yeah, I think after about 7 years in the Park End or wherever it's been, though, we finally mastered the optimal time to leave to get out just on the final whistle.
Isn't that cute to get out though?
Oh, it's awful. But if you leave your seat about 2 minutes before it finishes, you generally get down to the exit.
Nothing will ever beat the Bernardo Silva moment. That will go down in Goodison folklore. That was the
biggest mass exodus.
If anyone's ever sat at the game wondering what Operation Goodison Exercise is, it's the Park End knowing when to leave, and it was just a moment of Evertonian purity when everyone knew collectively it was the time to go.
Before we get on to referee, do you want to just dwell a bit longer on the players and, like, you know, I'll come to you, Paul or Dave. Like, I think it's clear at the moment, like, we are knackered, we are not playing well, and I think that the football that you mentioned, I think it has regressed to even more Route 1 in the last few weeks, but I just think they deserve credit for just digging in and staying at it. Like, we're getting battered off the pitch with all these, you know, the lawyer fellows at the games today, wasn't he? And like, oh my God, yeah, all that nonsense.
But they got that many injuries.
All that nonsense was going on. You know, we got another charge. We've got injuries. They're clearly knackered. The squad is really small and quite bad. But, you know, and I think they know that. I think the manager knows that. Like, the referees are horrific every single week. And they're still there. They're still clinging on. They're still, you know, Seamus Coleman is still putting his head in there in the last minute to try and help that ball get over the line. And I think, like, it's what you should expect from every football team, but we haven't really always had that down the years. And, like, as bad as we were in that second half, like, they never stopped running, they never stopped battling, they never stopped trying. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for that.
No, absolutely. I think they deserve all the credit in the world, as you say, with everything that's going on. In terms of off the pitch, with the sanctions and the appeal, we've not been able to bring anyone in January, which, to my reckoning, that was the most half-assed transfer window I've ever experienced in my life. I felt like the likes of, obviously, Dwight McNeil today worked hard, but you can tell they're on the last legs. Jack Harrison, another one who grafted today. Seamus Coleman coming on, like, as I say, he's like 36 years old. Ashley Young today, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but I thought, genuinely, he was brilliant. I thought he played really, really well. 39, 38, however old he is. They're all digging in. And I said this to me mate before the game. With Daesh, I completely echo what Mo is saying about long-term. We don't want that type of football at Everton long-term. You do want more than that. But I think right now, it is literally, as he says, managing the manageables, or
control controllables
and manage the noise. And I think in terms of what we've got, he is the right person to control that and to manage it, and he's getting the maximum that he possibly can out of this group of lads. But I won't knock them, because they are to working for one another, and any other team under Lampard, under Benitez, we'd have lost that 2-1 today, but they kept going, and that is to the credit. I just hope for Daesh and for us, obviously, this isn't all for nothing, and if we get any of the points back from the appeal, whatever comes, even if we don't, I just hope that what we're doing is enough to stay in the league for another year. But as I say, only time will tell. I'm not sure what Dave thinks.
Yeah, I think it shows you how difficult things are for him when he can't even be pragmatic, because you haven't got the option to. Having said that, I mean, I think we also, the big thing that comes into my mind when you watch our games is, we lack a lot of quality that we'd still be saying if we were doing really well. There's a lot of quality that we lack for whatever reason, that we haven't had the squad of strength for, well, several years now, let's face it. We're relying on players for their hearts more than we are the quality that they're going to have, Matt, and or the amount of possession we have and thing, everything like that, which has been the only real way that we're going to get results. And by and large, Dice is an intelligent manager, and that's what we've used as our strength to go and get it. Set pieces, like you mentioned there, Mark, as much as you want to cry, when most of them are 30, 40 yards out and someone's trying to shoot. Idrissa Gueye is, yeah, tried to shoot as well from 20 yards out, right by you. Had to got off when that happened, because he had the ball in on the right there.
That was a low point today.
That was a low point
with James Tarkovsky. He's shooting from 70 yards.
Oh my God. That was horrific.
Oh, was that when he tried to lob him?
He tried to score from his own half, yeah.
You see, you say your appointment, saying you're proud of this. We're not sitting here at the end, sort of end of year chat, this, you know what I mean, saying this about the lads. I know we're doing this with a nice pint to celebrate that we're still in the Premier League with some poetry games, which we'll probably need anyway to stay there. But I feel that he can't do much else. And me and Les, particularly myself, have been hammered for what we were talking about last week, haven't we? Where people have claimed, we said we want him sacked. We never said that, did we? Just to confirm that.
No, well, I don't want him sacked.
No, that's it. I don't want him sacked at all. Where I probably went a little bit too far was a criticism, which is the complete opposite of what I said now, thinking that he should be doing things better. But you look at that today, as just in a nutshell, shows you all we can do. You've got to hope for lads to come on. I think he's doing me heads in with the subs, though. Yes, you can add, well, what's he going to do? But it goes back to Martinez. It seems to be a thing when you sign for Everton, you sign a contract till you can't make a sub until 75. Having said that, you know, the other positive we haven't really spoken about, Calvert-Lewin actually scores a goal.
Yeah, Bob doesn't. It's Harrison's goal.
He scores a goal.
It's Jack Harrison's goal.
I felt like crying for him. Either way, it's not. But either.
have you watched it? It definitely is Jack Harrison's goal.
All of us said that.
Calvert-Lewin's in the ground. That was made for him. Well, but if it's given to Harrison,
he can have the assist. The assists are that. But what I'm saying is, you've wrecked what I was going to say. Now him scoring a goal would be fantastic. But what I was going to say was, we scored two goals that were less than half a yard out as well, by the way. And it was made up for Branthwaite. I just want to say as well, when Richarlison scores that first goal, it's probably the first time I've looked at Branthwaite and said that something was his fault. And it absolutely was. Because, well, Richarlison standing there with a bit of a gap anyway to shoot, that's down to your two centre-backs anyway, and Michalenko come across. But if you look where he's standing there when that ball comes in from Branthwaite, that was the first time he was just static. And never ever want to criticise him again, do you know what I mean? Because if we did, or if he was that like that, we certainly wouldn't have the points we've got now. But yeah, take a draw.
Just the thing with Richarlison there, that's what he does really well though, isn't it? He will find that little pocket of space, you know, on defenders a lot more experienced
just
than Bradley.
Alive in the box, I mean. Have you ever seen him hit with his left foot like that, by the way? I can't remember him scoring a left foot of goal for us, have you?
No.
But I mean, I think today, just watching him, it's like you just see how much we miss from what a striker that can fucking score for a start. But just everything he does is all that.
Three cheers for Charleston.
Yeah. Can I just applaud him? I just want to give a little shout out to the Tottenham kit as well.
That's why I was silly.
It was like weirdly flesh coloured in a certain light. It was dreadful.
No, it
wasn't like a Jimmy Bidston shout out. It was a shout out to how bad it was. It was like,
can't see the numbers on the back very well.
Was it mauve? It looked like in certain lights, it was like a flesh. Like,
I'm not even going to call it grey. It wasn't grey, was it? It was genuinely. Because, I mean, you're wearing a grey top here. Not that grey. It was just skin coloured, flesh coloured.
Sit next to me, mum, and she says, why is he not wearing the top? Because she was that skin coloured. She's like, doesn't everyone wear the kit anymore in the football? I was like, mum, it's not, it's grey. It's like, you need your eyes tested, saying that's grey.
So we finish on the referee, who I just thought was like the last 10 minutes just completely lost the plot. Like, Spurs brought on that lad with the top knot, I don't know what his name is, and his MO just seems to be rugby tackle better for the entire game. And like, there's one which we should have had, well, the shout for a penalty. I don't know if it was, but
it looked like from where I was, I felt that I actually felt that the second appeal was a lot stronger than the first.
The second one before we actually get the free kick is like, I can't believe he doesn't give that.
He just ran into him, he doesn't even look at the ball. He just charges right across him. That is a foul.
Proper bent back.
It's like watching rugby now. It was like that. They weren't looking at the ball. Weren't caring where the ball's going. He just looked at him and stepped across and just tries to throw as much of his body into him.
And he seems so intent on like booking everyone for descent. And like, this is, I hate even talking about this, but like, then Timo Werner like kicked the ball away at one point, and he saw it and he turned around that quick, so he didn't have to book him. It's like, you've just booked Ben Godfrey for moaning. You booked Sean Dyche for moaning. If you're gonna be hot on descent and book everyone for descent, book everyone. Don't just book the players you want.
Well, the other example of like avoidance in that situation was the offside that Les spoke about.
Yeah.
And Michael Oliver probably looks at that, admittedly not his fault, and thinks, you're wrong here. Yeah. And then it was quite funny. Tottenham made a sub, and within about half a second he blew his whistle and pointed over to the touchline for the sub. He was like, get in, there's a breaking play, and the announcer's going to save me here because everyone's going to look over to the sideline. But you know, the reality is that the threshold is just higher for Everton, isn't it? You know, I don't take any form of personal pride or anything out of saying that, but you know, I'm all for siege mentality, but when it means that we have to do so much more to get a throw in, never mind a penalty, like the better one that we all appealed for. Certainly, when I was appealing for it from our end, it looked like it was out the box and I wanted a free kick. I don't know if it was. I know ultimately we score from the free kick from the next foul. But I struggle to think of a football match where I watch an Everton centre-half do that and he doesn't get booked. Never mind a foul not given. And part of me does look around at the ground and see, you know, protest banners and flags and whatnot and think, is that part of it? Is there that kind of... You know, we saw Michael Oliver do it today in kind of doubling down on a bad decision when he went over and booked someone on the Everton sideline. And it was after that particular better decision. And it does make me think maybe unconsciously referees come to Goodison Park now and think, well, I'm not going to play to their narrative and kind of give them what they want.
Like our card, Mark, before
the bat's going up. And, you know, no one's right or wrong here in how we're handling this because it's obviously a ridiculous situation. But I do think that is probably a thing in referees' minds at the moment.
It's difficult now to say it without saying, oh, you're just crying because it's your own team. But I'm getting to the point now, and we've spoke about this a lot on Mondays, Matt, where it's hard to say it without sounding like you think there's an agenda. But the more this continues, like we're talking about it all the time. Exactly. You're seeing it and thinking, you never ever want to say it's an agenda. But fuck me, it looks like an agenda.
Yeah.
So, you know, that it's getting that bad now.
How many videotapes would David Moyes have sent to the FA by now?
I was about to say, when we were talking about Dyche before, I was about to say, like, there are a lot of similarities on the Moyes. Like, one make changes to late on. He's very, like, set on a certain style of play. But I just want to go back to Michael Oliver, if I may.
Absolutely.
And, I mean... This isn't just him, this is all officials who seem to come to Goodison Park. If Everton are losing or we're chasing a win, I don't know what it is, but I seem, and a few select people in the upper ladder street, seem to be the only people who remember that if a player has been substituted, they need to exit the pitch at the nearest part of the ground. That referee today watched, I think it was Højbjerg being taken off, and he's seen him walk past him. And he let him go. And I just wonder, you've just seen that. And Seamus Coleman, 5 minutes before then, has just told you he's got to leave the pitch at the nearest side. And you're still allowing it to happen. So if the officials aren't enforcing the rules and they're not enforcing it themselves, then what's the point? Like, it's getting to that point now where we're questioning every single thing that they do. And I'm not going to shout corruption, but it's just... to borrow a quote from Roy Keane, do your job properly.
Just quickly on a similar thing, there was a lovely little section of the family enclosure where every time Spurs got a throw in, he'd take it forward a couple of yards and this whole section was just screaming at the linesman to get it back. It's lovely. I'd love to see that.
An even better one when they have a throw in right in the corner on Gladys with the paddock, some fella has to throw the ball back to him, mate. It's the best. Like, I'd love someone to paint it. Just stop it. He gets up and like, we need to score a goal with 2-1 down. He just gets it and throws it. I can't remember who played left back for them. Who was it? Do you remember?
Doggy.
Yeah, he's coming over to get the ball. Like, I'm just a sensible fella. And this punter at the back just picks it up, throws it in his face, and just goes, "Fuck off!" Like, screams as loud as he can. I'm like, you know, when you're like, he's just had enough. He's not arse with the game now. He's just had enough and wants to assault someone instead.
Just very last thing before we go. I should have mentioned this earlier, but I thought Seamus was so good when he came on today. Like, in the ground, I was bemoaning, being like, "Oh, we're trying to get a goalie and we're bringing on a 35-year-old right back to try and save us." But I just thought he was absolutely bossing everything he did when he came on.
Can I just say before that, what did you think of Godfrey? Because he obviously went.
He played
off.
Well.
Yeah, I was happy with Godfrey as well. But I just thought
Seamus just like he just gave us like just something a bit different when he came on.
I mean, I'm biased. I love him in the same way I loved the Charleston until he threw a Spurs shirt on. But I love Seamus Coleman. He epitomises everything.
When the equaliser was given, he was given it to the referee, wasn't he? But then when he was given, he went absolutely berserk, didn't he? Like,
he just seems. I don't think he's like obviously Captain Marvel, and like he changes games when he comes on. But when he comes on, he does just the standards just improve when he comes on. He expects so much more from our players, and he just lifts everyone around him. And there just seems to be like an aggression, or maybe not aggression, but there just seems to be more desire from him, like in terms of getting us forward. And as Dave said, I thought Godfrey was brilliant today, and it was unfortunate he come off with injury.
Dobbin was good when he came on.
Dobbin was brilliant as well. He was really good. He put put Potter on his toes quite a lot, and he was getting into pockets with Michalenko. The one shame for me, I think it might have been Dobbin who played it in. Chimiti, and they just needed to be a bit of power in that. And
he has time for the first three. I don't think he gets that, you know what I mean? He's got their defenders probably in his back.
Yeah,
I'm thinking that's got to be offside, but when it wasn't, I'm like, you take a touch and bang it in, then just see what happens. Yeah. But he tried to. Do you know what? I looked at him, felt a little bit unfortunate for him, because it was a clever effort to try and score there. Just one little touch into the corner.
Yeah, there wasn't enough pace on the cross.
No, that's it. That's it. I agree with you there. I think that's why you have to take a touch, and then you're banging it, swinging your foot at it. But, you know, that's the thing, in a bit of a nutshell, Matt. This lad's going to have to be played. He's gonna get game time for us going forward. So you've got to get him on. And, again, Beto was on, and... You know, let's say the best of it.
Interesting that Chimiti got on before Beto today.
Exactly, but, yeah, good point.
But yeah, we'll explore that more in the week. We'll leave it there anyway, because we've done nearly 40 minutes on that. It was an eventful game, but cheers to Mark, Les, Paul and Dave. That is your instant reaction from the Denby Castle. It's absolutely packed. Everyone having a lovely time, reflecting on the Everton game, watching the rugby and soccer Saturday for Everton 2, Tottenham 2. We'll be back in the week. Building up to what should be a nice routine win against Manchester City on Saturday lunchtime. Up the Toffees, speak to you soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.